Today is December 11th, 1984, and this interview is taking place at the Audiovisual Center at Morehead State University. My name is Sandy Scheel. I am interviewing Hanny Wright and Gene Siegel about the St. Ansgar Hospital Auxiliary. Hanny was the second president of the Auxiliary in 1956, and Gene was president in 1975 and 76. Gene is actually going to be helping me with this interview today, as well as being interviewed by me. Okay, Hanny, why don't we start off with the information you have there about how the Auxiliary was founded.
In 1955, March 30th, a group of interested women met in the club room of the Clay County Courthouse to learn from Sister Mary Joseph, the administrator of St. Ansgar, the purpose of an auxiliary and what women of the community could do for the hospital. An auxiliary was then formed. April the 26th, the first meeting of the auxiliary, held a membership fee. There were 165 charter members, and Mrs. Marvin Harriet Geib was elected our first president. Meeting again on May 15th, the National Hospital Week observed theme, Your Hospital, a Tradition of Service. Now, May 15th was about the time of the birthday of Florence Nightingale. And this was long ago organized Hospital Week in memory of that first nurse, the Florence Nightingale. And it was Your Hospital, a Tradition of Service. And this is why the auxiliary was joined at that time.
Okay. Now, by whom was it organized and how was it organized? You were telling me some of your recollections earlier.
Sister Josephine, this great, wonderful woman that headed the as administrator of St. Ansgar at that time. Really, Sister Mary Joseph, a very remarkable woman that encouraged us then to join together as an auxiliary to the hospital. And, you know, at that time, the hospital wasn't yet completely built. It was being built gradually over that time. But we were there, anticipated what we could do. And from then on, we were organized quickly from then. And the first meeting of a full board of directors voted to join the state and national organizations. Plans for publishing a monthly bulletin from St. Ansgar's Hospital Auxiliary. The publication was that time was named The Chart. And, of course, the name suggested itself to me because having been an old-time nurse who always had the chart and you had to put everything down so that the doctor and anybody else would want to see what we were doing for the patient, this is what the chart was. And this was our publication now that comes out to keep us all informed of what the auxiliary is doing. The general chairman of the Clay County Hospital Fund Drive at that time suggested that the auxiliary assist with the drive to collect the money. And we hesitated about this, and the auxiliary voted to not to take part in the fund drive. Purpose of the auxiliary is to support the work of the hospital within the walls, supplementing activities of the regular hospital staff, augmenting service to the staff and patients that would otherwise be impossible, and to further public relations of the hospital. The help is to increase the need and the work hands of the people that work to take care of the people within the walls of the hospital. And this we have tried to do with the work power of man, of the women. The women indicated to wish to become the members on this and have been augmenting now the numbers ever since. And women do anything that can be a volunteer work that would proceed to help the hospital and the patients. The general meeting in September by that time was held in the George Washington School, and the hospital had still not gotten far enough for a meeting place in the hospital. And the general meetings then were held at that school. Later we were held at the St. Francis de Sales Gymnasium. We were not really gymnastics, but we were very active in our plans. And there were many things that were done. We there were sewing groups made and toys made, all sorts of things, tray favors, stuffed toys. You'll hear more about that later.
Penny, don't you think it's also important to mention at the beginning that St. Ansgar was founded and has always been a nonprofit or not-for-profit hospital founded by the Franciscan Sisters of Little Falls. For most of the time, the sisters have provided much of the staff and almost always the administrator for the hospital. And because of the not-for-profit status, volunteers have been needed to augment both staff members and funding for things that could not be provided for in the budget.
This is how we managed and why we especially wanted need ways of raising money to provide many of the things that were needed for the nursing care of the patients. And we have this done for the last 30 years. We have raised a great many things to provide, and the monies have run into thousands of dollars. Now, one thing, for instance, just early, we like to have a piano in the place, and there was no piano at St. Ansgar's new hospital. So in order to get one, some of us, don't mind going ask for something. So we went to to DeVos Piano Company, and would he give us a piano? And he did.
So you had your piano.
So we had our piano. We could sing. We could do anything we pleased. Now we still have the piano. Chances are it's still over there.
I bet it is.
I'm sure it must be by now.
You were telling me about Sister Mary Joseph the first time you saw her. Would you tell us that again?
She was a most delightful person. Very able, very persuasive. She had a lilt even in her walk as she walked down the hall, an energetic woman. You could see that her, just with a purpose in her mind, purpose in her life, that she knew that what she wanted to do, what she should be doing, and how she did it, and which she did do it. And was greatly loved and honored. Since then, we have given awards in name of Sister Mary Joseph, and that was just now installed on our early 30th year.
Okay. And now the name of the newsletter is The Chart. And Hanny, you were the one that came up with the name for the newsletter, correct?
Well, as a nurse, you see, you always had to put everything down on the chart, and this is what we do. And we send it around now and tell the members of the auxiliary, this is what's happening, and this is what we expect you to do with it, too.
That's right. Okay, so it was founded by the Franciscan Sisters, and St. Ansgar is still operated by the St. Franciscan Sisters. Okay, now, what about the charter members? Do you want to tell us who some of the charter members were of your organization?
We'll find a
list of them.
It wasn't hard to find auxiliary charter members because everybody wanted to join us pretty much. And I suppose the list is probably a little more than you want to like to take time, or would you like to read the charter members?
Oh, why don't you read a few of them?
A few of them. Okay, yeah. Fine. There was Elsie Etchison. These are Moorhead. And Mrs. Leo Adams, Mrs. Frances Allen, Mrs. Ed Elgier, this is Josephine, and Mrs. Clarence Altenbrand, we call her Sis, and Phyllis Arnold, Eva Arsdorf, Phyllis Baldwin. Many of these people are still very active. Mrs. Ed Benedict, and Mrs. Emma Boyt, Esther Brom. Miss Dagmar Briggs, who's gone. And, of course, the total does come every once in a while. In this many years, many of us have sort of fallen by. There's no doubt. And one of our early presidents was Mrs. Pearl Steening. We have others that have moved way out of town now. Many are still here. Mrs. Parker Erickson, Alice Erickson, active. Helen Urine, especially active in the compiling and keeping the history and also the pictorial history of the auxiliary. There are volumes, beautiful, delightful reading in her books, and so marvelously made altogether. She does has done just a remarkable job on this. And we have two lists, perhaps to read them all in here. Mrs. Dorothy Fugere, Mrs. Belford, Wilfred, Miss Elsie. Their first names, we mostly know her better by their first year's names. And Mrs. Esther Garrity, the young Mrs. Garrity. Marvin Gibb, of course, was our first president. And we have Minnie Grove Habiger. Mrs. Andrew Habiger was also one of our early presidents.
A lot of these people are still active in the auxiliary.
Many of them are. This is true. Some of them have gone on by either moving away. Many of them died. And Teresa Headland was an active person. Now she's now in a retirement home. And they have Mrs. Glenn Johnson, now just recently died. And Mrs. Jacob Kiefer, Ella. And, of course, Ella died just last year. Mrs. Genevieve King, Dr. King, active. When she is in town, she's retired from school here at MS. And we find that time goes here, you know, and we go there, too. And, of course, Louise Korn, Mrs. Carol Korn, has been very outstanding in her activity in the auxiliary.
And you could mention about Carol Korn that she was also a recipient of the Sister Mary Joseph Award given last year, as you were yourself.
Yes, she was one of the first recipients of the Sister Mary Joseph.
And also a past president of the auxiliary.
Definitely.
I would say that probably 15 or 20 of the original, 40 or 50 charter members are still actively involved at St. Anne's.
I believe that's true. I think that is truth. And many, as I go down, I can see that they're still there, and some of them, of course, have moved away to other things. For instance, Mrs. Gordon Mantronek Beverly, now remarried after the death of her husband, and she has been in Grand Forks. Mm-hmm. I saw that she probably more is busy with politics now than she was in the work when she was in Moorhead. And just having through with this struggle getting our presidents sorted out again.
And this shows such a commitment to the organization, I think. So many of the young people that I know now feel that if they've been in an organization 5 or 6 or 7 years, that they have outlived their time and are ready to move on to other things. And the women that have been in auxiliary for 20, 25 years and still find something new to do. So many of these women are still on boards, are still serve on committees, and really have an awful lot to teach those of us who have come in the later years.
I'm entirely agreed with that. I think that if you join an organization and put your hand to it, don't give it up after just a few years and go on to something else just because you're knowing it'd be interesting to look other things. Add the other things, surely, but stay with this one fine organization that you still have given much to and are helping it develop. And there's something delightful to see an organization that you've been in for many years, and as it develops and grows, as I look at the beginning of St. Ansgar's Auxiliary, because that I've been there since the very beginning, and it's been a delightful thing. It's just like seeing a child that grows up and matures, and your businesses and your meetings, we just grow differently, and it's been delightful to continue a member and active in an organization like this.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll have a copy of those lists made and include them with this tape so that if anyone is interested in looking up to see who the charter members were, that information will be available to them. Jean, a reference was made to the fact that this is a national organization. Can you tell me a little bit about the auxiliary organization, the structure itself?
There are local auxiliaries, hospital auxiliaries. Actually, the organization is the National Organization of Hospitals and Nursing Homes. There are local organizations. There are, Minnesota is divided then into seven districts. Those districts form our state organization, Minnesota Hospital and Homes Auxiliary Association, and all of these state organizations form the national. I think that we find that there is a lot of hands-on feeling for the state organizations from the national. You don't seem to get lost in the shuffle, and I think it's the same way as far as the local auxiliaries are concerned, feeling that state knows who they are, is interested in them. Every district has a chairman, and that chairman tries very diligently to visit all of the local organizations. There doesn't seem to be a lot of information lost in having it filter down from national to state to district to local. You feel very much a part of the whole national organization.
How the people that belong to your organization, are there any membership requirements, or how do they join? How many belong?
There's no age requirement. The auxiliary has male and female members. The only requirement as far as fulfilling a commitment is that you do as much as you can do. Some people feel that they would rather serve the auxiliary in hospital service. They volunteer once a week for a morning or afternoon, or once every other week, as often as they feel that they can. Other people feel they'd rather work on the fundraising parts of League. They work on projects. They aren't able to be at the hospital for whatever reason weekly, but they can do a lot of that at home. And that's also a very crucial part of the organization. Some people serve by working with the board, working on committees at the hospital, and even working on committees that are under the auspices of the hospital as opposed to the auxiliary, but then filtering down that information to the auxiliary. So there are many different ways that people can serve the hospital auxiliary, and I think that's been part of the reason that we've retained so many of the charter members and that we continue to maintain the interest of the members that have joined since then. There is such a variety of opportunities for doing what someone really would like to do, and year after year being able to evaluate your commitments and feeling that maybe this year you can't do as much, and then being able to handle it that way, and then another year being able to do a lot more, and then being able to give whatever time you feel that you would like to give.
Okay.
We have, St. Ansgar has at the moment, approximately 200 members. We have consistently maintained a membership of over 150. On occasion, it's gotten to about 225, but I would say that approximately 200 would be very accurate.
Okay. What is the status of women in the organization? How have women participated? So it is primarily women in the auxiliary?
No, well, we did. We started with the women, and then at that particular time, there were most of the men were on the drive of trying to raise the funds to develop St. Ansgar from the old hospital. Now, St. Ansgar was an old hospital called the Moorhead Hospital at one time, and gradually they felt that they couldn't run it anymore. It was sort of a city hospital, but the sisters bought the hospital, renamed it, and named St. Ansgar. St. Ansgar was the saint, or the under whose name Norway was Christianized from their Viking Thors and what have you. They were a wild outfit. Norwegians sort of stayed a little bit wild even to this day, being I'm a product of that Norwegians. But then they named it St. Ansgar in honor of this St. Ansgar that did bring religion, the Christian religion, to Norway. And immediately they knew that they must upgrade the hospital, and eventually they had to rebuild the building entirely. And this is what was done. And most of the men were working on that. Undoubtedly some women were. But the women's job seemed to be this particular thing of caring for the people in the hospital. And now we have men, we have young boys and girls, and anybody with a willing hand and a pair of fast feet and a few things like that, we'll take them in at the hospital auxiliary.
But your board positions and your national board positions are filled by whoever is in the ranks, or
mostly women, I think. There may be some more, but I, as far as I know, as far as from we're here speaking about our own organization, that they're the women that have been running.
Okay. Are there any specific goals or purposes for the auxiliary?
The auxiliary has actually two main purposes. One would be service to the hospital, service in the different departments, administering and running the gift shop, helping hands-on, whether with or without the patients directly there. The other goal is to raise funds for the hospital. Especially these days, it's so hard to find the money for everything that is needed. It's definitely the essential things are budgeted in and paid for by the hospital. But there are secondary essential needs that just for some reason aren't able to be funded this year. They say maybe next year. And what the auxiliary does is ask the departments to submit a list of these secondary essential items, and then a committee of the auxiliary members decides which items will be funded by the hospital in any given year. And I think that many items that the hospital is needed very badly have come in this way. Some of them can't be funded all in one year, but we certainly make the attempt, and then the next year finish paying for these things.
Okay.
But it's very important for the department people to understand that they can come directly to us, that someone will listen to their needs and take them very seriously and hopefully be able to fund them in any given year.
Okay. You referred earlier to your historian, Hanny. Maybe you could give us her name again. And I know there's a statement about your historical records in your book.
It was Helen Urine, a very remarkable, devoted person. She's a delightful woman, and gathered up the history together, and she has made just tremendous books. If you ever want to see them, get in touch with an auxiliary, auxilian, and she has volumes of pictures and also the story about this. Now, Helen Urine has worked over years to get this together to this remarkable state that it is now, and we can't praise her too much to really be worthy of all the work she has done. We can there's just great thanks to her for gathering up our history.
I don't know her. Has she been in the auxiliary a long time?
Well, I think so. What do you think?
She was a charter member.
She was a charter member.
And she was a librarian with the city of Moorhead for many
okay.
years. And she became the historical chairman for auxiliary. And on January 15th, 1982, she wrote in the scrapbooks the purpose for maintaining a very complete history of the auxiliary. And I will read that letter. It is necessary for every organization to keep accurate and complete records. The two types of records are archival and historical. St. Ansgar Auxiliary archival records, meaning the minutes of board meetings, as well as general meetings, financial records, membership rosters, etc., are well kept. It has been the duty of this committee to collect all records of historical value. This includes charts, newspaper clippings, items from the Highlights, which is the newsletter of the hospital, photos, programs, and any items which will help understand the auxiliary. This material is kept in the historical notebooks using Mylar to preserve the charts. It is our sincere hope that within the next year, our historical notebooks will be complete as far as material is available, that they will coincide with the archival history. Helen Ureen. So we feel as an organization that we have as complete records as is possible to have.
So she's probably been maintaining these most of these years.
Constantly.
For a number of
years. Yes. It took her quite a while to gather this together, and she has done such an exemplary job with it. Now, we don't want to forget all the things that we have provided and helped provide, the things that were needed there. For instance, one I think is really exciting things is this child help seat.
Project Child Safe, Child Restraint Seat.
Yes, that you must now, even by law, has helped to that you must put your child into the restraint seat. And I think that's, along with all the other things that we have done managed to help buy, if not all together, the thing, and some things we have financed all the way. But there are a great many things that the hospital can use now that they could not have gotten as quickly as without our help.
Yeah. Okay. What are some of the other... Now, did you have more information about the Project Child Safe that you wanted to...
Project Child Safe is something that was very new for Clay County, and St. Ansgar recognized the need, especially... Well, way before the state of Minnesota made it a requirement by law, but recognized the need of residents of Clay County to have access to the loan of child restraint seats. For many years, the auxiliary has promoted these seats for babies who are born at the hospital. As of July 1984, these seats were now available to any resident. And the program offered the seats for anyone transporting a child weighing less than 20 pounds. This program was also co-sponsored by the Clay County Sheriff's Office and the Moorhead Police Department, and they now carry brochures in their cars so that if they do stop someone and issue them a ticket or a warning, they also give them the brochure and the people understand where they can receive the child restraint seats.
That's great. What other kind of services does the auxiliary provide?
Well, we, of course, that delightful group of women, and I'm sure that this is restricted only to the women, gentlemen don't seem to do very well with their needle and thimble. And this is making the hundreds and hundreds of gift toys. They're toys for the children, for the patients that are in the hospital. And I've seen the record of... several hundred each year are sewed, and these are just delightful, cozy little toys. Something are most of them soft and cuffed and stuffed with stuff that is washable. Each child that's been in the hospital goes home with at least one gift of toy.
Another really important thing that they do is they give one of these toys to each child who's brought into the emergency room. That is such a traumatic time for a child, and we've seen time and time again how they just start to cuddle these toys, and it gives them a sense of security. They're taken into the emergency room, onto one of the examining beds, and they're just clutching these little toys. Whatever. Some are clowns, some are animals. It gives them something to hold on to at a very stressful time for a child. These women have been worked many, many hours a year and have worked for many years developing up their reservoir of
they
toys.
They sew every week just constantly, and you know, this certainly must be a delightful effect for a child to suddenly find a cozy little doll or animal or a little stuffed toy. Must be a marvelous thing for them to get in an emergency place.
The auxiliary, yes, also sponsors the gift shop, open to visitors or employees. Open most of the time that the hospital is, including into the evenings. That is totally sponsored by the auxiliary, staffed and funded. We also staff the gallery, started about 4 years ago. on the first floor administration level of the hospital. It's done surprisingly well. It's amazing how many employees buy paintings. A number of visitors do, but we never expected the support of the employees the way we do, and they look forward to the changing of the shows. We are in approximately 30 departments of the hospital, always expanding. Now our volunteer department gets requests from the hospital services saying, can you staff our service? Can you send people? We need people to hand out menus. We need people to help with discharge. We need people to handle admissions, take people upstairs. As funding for the hospitals, for the institutions, has become more and more critical, we find that the auxiliaries are needed more and more and more. We have never felt unappreciated, but I think now, in the last 4 or 5 years, even more than before, we find that we are so much more appreciated. The hospital can't seem to express their appreciation enough. And I think it's important that you don't always have to work directly with the patient. Some people would rather not. Mm-hmm. They'll work at the admitting desk or in the gift shop or in x-ray. We have women who have worked in the labs filing and handling slides for many years. One of our auxiliary women suggested, and the hospital initiated, the service of telecare. Every morning a certain list of people are called to make sure that they are all right that day. If the call is not answered at that specific time, then we have emergency numbers of a neighbor or a relative. The person has said they will be there then, and we then call to make sure that everything is all right with them. That's handled from our front admitting desk. We have women who prefer to work in the cafeteria. We have women who do shampooing. We have women who take a gift card around to the floors. We have women in almost every, and I'm trying to think if there are some departments that don't have volunteers, but I can't
think of anything. It'll surely be filled. Another thing, tonight will be a very special meeting at 7:30. The sisters have invited, and the administration of St. Ansgar's Hospital has invited auxilians to come to a Christmas party. And it'll be, it's always a very high part to see this lovely party beautifully served up and decorated, and everybody saying thanks to us. And we feel that also, we feel like saying to them, thank you for giving us these lovely opportunities for doing things. But I'm looking forward to tonight's party at St. Ansgar's.
Our auxiliary meets 4 times a year. We meet in January, March, and November for luncheon meetings, in September for a membership tea, and of course we have our Christmas party sponsored by the hospital now. We've always met at the hospital. So far we haven't outgrown the space. We meet in the cafeteria. The food service plans the menus. They do just a beautiful job. And the meetings are well attended. We have programs very often. If a new service is offered by one of the doctors at the hospital, we very quickly ask that person to come and explain it to us, because I think most of the auxiliary members feel that we are a public relations extension of the hospital. What we can tell other people in the community about St. Ansgar is so much more important than what they can read in a newspaper or hear on television as far as advertising is concerned. We are the best public relations arm that they have. They tell us that, and we feel that we are. And we can go out and explain how St. Ansgar is a caring organization, a caring institution, that you are not a number, you are a person. Almost all of the administrators of the hospital can be found very often on the floors talking to people. They aren't desk-bound, they aren't office-bound on the first floor. They're talking to visitors. The patients know who they are. And they know that if they say, well, my bathroom wasn't clean today, that it'll be clean because you told the administrator. They're interested in finding out about the problems and about how the patients feel. That's terrifically important for a community hospital like St. Ansgar.
You know it's an auxilian when you see her in her pink smock. You know, then you're just one of these people that are drifting through the hospital all over, doing anything that is useful to be done, and try to answer your questions if you're a stranger among the place. But if she's wearing her pink smock, you know that you have a friend.
That's wonderful. Now, when we were talking earlier, I got the feeling that you've really had the ability to change. You know, you've been functioning now for a little over 30 years, and your purposes have certainly changed over those years, and you really have been able to change as the times have changed, and you're in more and more areas, and it sounds to me that your volunteers are being very well used, that you know, the credibility they have, the professionalism, that's an attitude that they have, I get the feeling that this is felt by your volunteers, and it's reflected in the paid staff that you work with.
So I don't think our purpose has changed so much as our means of achieving it has changed.
Yes, and another thing, we are stressed. Well, I know that Father John has stressed it with special meetings sometimes, to know that some things are supposed to be not banded around. You're supposed to have a confidence, yes, but don't talk about things a way that you should. Be sure of the care that you do and what you do. And your
confidentiality.
There you are. That's too difficult a word for me to say. And that is a very important thing that you knew. Whether we teach the nurses from the very beginning, when I was instrumental in teaching young nurses, and the same thing with auxilians. Don't take it out of the place.
Do you have any formal training for the volunteers?
Mm-hmm. We have an orientation that the volunteers go through. And I think it's terrifically important. It's a whole day. Father John talks about confidentiality. Different department heads come and speak. The administrator comes and speaks. The volunteer department has a number of small workshops. And there are tours. People get to know a lot about the hospital in that day. They also learn about the committees. We are using, at the moment, the words auxiliary and volunteer interchangeably. And they really are not. The auxiliary is the volunteer organization comprising both hospital service and fundraising. You, at the moment, do not have to be an auxiliary member to volunteer at the hospital, but most of the auxiliary members do. And most of the volunteers belong to the auxiliary. I think it's important for them to belong to the auxiliary, because then they receive the chart, they learn about things that are happening at the hospital, and it makes them much more well-rounded volunteers. But at the moment, we are one of the few hospitals in Minnesota that does not require our volunteers to belong to the auxiliary.
Well, since you're both past presidents, I want to find out, was there a favorite thing that happened during your year, or favorite story, or something that was real special to you?
Mine was so long back there, 30 years, girls. But we were the organizers, of course. We decided that we must put out a little, some kind of a piece of publication, and we're going to have to send this sheet out. Now it's many pages of it, really. So what will we call it? Well, of course, we call it the chart. So that should everything get into for the people that were concerned about it, and that became the chart. We also were wondering, how will we raise money? How will we have a tea, and will we invite the women of the community to come and join us? And also help where we can work for things for the hospital, for the patients. And so there was a great many things, but after that, of course, we have just been spreading out to all sorts of things. I think Jean's going to have to augment some of that now.
Well, I do have one other question. One of the other interviews I had, she said when we first started, everyone wore a hat and gloves. It was quite a formal affair. Was it with the auxiliary?
Well, I don't know that it was formal. At least personally, I'm not a very formal person, I guess. So we could, if we found a really funny story to tell them, we could. So maybe for the luncheons, we a little bit more in that, because mm-hmm. they always serve so beautifully to us. But aside from that, I, you know, there are a lot of people that I don't know, but I know all people. I just haven't met them yet. I've often felt about people. I just haven't met these people, that's all, but they're not strangers to me. Mm-hmm. So I don't feel very formal with any of them.
That's wonderful.
In my year of 1975, two very interesting things happened. One, it was the 20th anniversary of the auxiliary, and for the first time, we contacted as many past presidents as possible, and the hospital had a wonderful anniversary party for us here at Comstock Memorial Union at Moorhead State, one of the few times we've had an occasion outside of the hospital. And that was because there were so many people that we could not hold it in the cafeteria. We had a picture taken of all of the the presidents.
Mm-hmm. Saw that.
We had an anniversary cake, and it was an exciting occasion for me. It was my first year as president, and it was wonderful. One of the nice things about auxiliary has been that no one has seemed to question how old you were in connection with what you could do. I joined in my early 20s, and within a year became a board member. And it seems like I have always, almost always, been one of the youngest people in auxiliary. And no one ever said, well, are you sure you can handle that? Or, you're so young, wouldn't you like to wait a year or two? Or everybody kept saying, why don't you do this now? And it was a wonderful experience for me because everyone felt that I could do it. The only thing I had to do to make them take it away was prove that I couldn't. And I think auxiliary has always treated its newer or younger members in that fashion. It's not been proved that you can, but try it, and if you can't, then we'll talk about it, which I think is a wonderful way to approach people. The other thing that I remember happening, and I don't remember if it was in 75 or 76, maybe you will, Hanny, was that was the year that the old hospital was demolished, and I got to be in on opening the cornerstone that had been there, and I have never been at a cornerstone opening. I've been at cornerstone closings. You know, everybody puts all this stuff in, and it goes in, and I never have expected to be able to see any of it again. There wasn't anything truly wonderful in this cornerstone, but the old hospital had been just west of the hospital as it exists today, and after it being a hospital, it was turned into a residence for the nuns, and I don't know if nurses lived there too, but I know the nuns lived there for a long time. And one day it was demolished. And it seems to me that there were hospital mission statements and lists of people and things like that in it. It was an exciting time because everyone else was so excited about finding out what was in this cornerstone.
No old instruments, or
you remember, Jean? We went through the long, deep tunnel underneath to get the meeting place, which was in the basement of the old hospital. Now, I don't know there was much above it. I suppose there's still an empty building above us, but I never got up there. But we did go through this long, dark tunnel. And then, it was lighted, of course. But the day of moving, that was the day of days. Mm-hmm. And some people, we'd move the people right on their beds. Others would go on cots. Others would go on chairs.
Roll them along.
But we'd give them a ride through this long tunnel out into this big, beautiful, new, lighted, beautiful, beautiful new hospital. And so exciting. And everybody was helping one by or another to get all the people that were in the old hospital now into the new place, and it was a day of jubilee.
It was. The tunnel is still there. Unfortunately, it ends. It never comes up anymore. There isn't anything except parking lot
at
the other end.
You can get into the tunnel, but
you
can't
get
out.
You have to turn around.
I also kind of thought that might have gone down to the power place.
No, it's used for storage and things like that. No, I don't think it ends anywhere. It just stops.
Wonderful.
We could take a tour there for old time's sake or something.
Let's have a Halloween party down there for the auxiliary.
Yeah, really ought to. One of the exciting things too, as the year that I became president, was the fact that my mother had been president of the auxiliary about 8 years, 7 or 8 years before I. Mm-hmm. And I think that we are the only mother and daughter auxiliary president group. And so when I joined auxiliary at that young age of early 20s, I knew so many of the women already. It was just like finally officially joining the group, because I'd been with Mother so many times on projects and working on our Band-Aid Follies, Band-Aid Review Follies, and things like
and
that.
And your mother's name was Mrs. Askey, wasn't
yes,
it?
Yes, Eleanor Askey.
Speaking about the nuns putting on a play, delightful musical thing, made by the sisters from the Little Falls, and I suppose some of them were also from our own